Welcome to the 4th and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
A star is born. A star is born. You heard it on this show here first. Well, maybe not first, but you heard it here a few days ago. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has officially emerged, everyone. What a performance from last night. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Nick Seitz, and unfortunately, it's going to be a solo show today. Jimbo is out of town today, so I'll be taking over for the second part of our matchup breakdown. But before we get into all that, let's talk about what we saw last night. I don't know about all you guys, but I got very emotional during the national anthem and just the opening kickoff, just everything. It was just a surreal moment. Opening day has never felt just so amazing as it has this year. There's so many great things to take away from last game, like Andy Reid's face shield, watching the game through a fog screen, freaking hilarious. But none other, the most important thing we're going to take away was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 25 carries in his first game in the NFL, 25 carries, 138 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, I think there is a sequence where there's like six straight Edwards-Helaire rushes, and I was just like, this is everything I dreamed of and more. I couldn't be happier. I mean, other notable performances, Sammy Watkins did his week one boom. I mean, Sammy Watkins might be the best week one player I've ever seen. I mean, last year, 80% of his production came in week one. There is hope. There's always hope for change, but hopefully Sammy Watkins can have a better role this year and kind of retain his production throughout the year instead of leaving it all on the field for week one. Mahomes had three touchdowns and 200 yards. Very efficient game for him. Kelce and Tyreek Hill both had touchdowns as well. It wasn't a huge, the Chiefs definitely had a game plan they wanted to stick to. They wanted to wear out the Texans' defense, running it down, not throwing deep, and they did a really good job of that. That Texans' D looked freaking exhausted by the end of the game. Even at the half, they looked exhausted. On the Texans' side of the ball, it is going to be the same story, folks. I was hoping for something different, but when you trade away Hopkins for some recycling trash, there's not much you can really expect from them. I mean, their offensive line looked terrible. They made Tunzel the highest paid left tackle in the league after he's the most penalized lineman in the league. It looked like the same kind of garbage from last year where Deshaun Watson is running for his life and the team just hoping that he can pull something out, some crazy magic to help them win the game. Give credit to the Chiefs, though. I mean, they had the most returning players to their roster this season. They were ready, and they looked really polished coming into this. David Johnson, Jimbo's bold take, if you don't remember from yesterday, Jimbo's bold take was David Johnson will have the third most receiving yards for the Texans this game. And he was right. I don't know how the heck Jimbo called this, but Will Fuller, great game with eight receptions, 112 yards. You were happy with that in half-point PPR formats, and it was honestly a great flex play, but usually when you have players playing on Thursday night, you want to put them in your positional spots. That way you can have some variety and some pivot points for your flex coming into Sunday. But Will Fuller, a good performance from him. He does seem to be like the number one receiver for this offense. Jordan Akins, the secondary tight end, had two catches for 39 yards and a touchdown. And lastly, the third best receiver on this Texans offense was David Johnson last night with three catches for 32 yards. Deshaun Watson running around for his life. There wasn't much he could do. DJ also had 11 carries for 77 yards and a touchdown. He was splitting time with Duke Johnson, but David Johnson was just much more efficient, 7 yards a carry. He does seem like to be the premier back. Deshaun Watson kind of saved his day with a late rushing touchdown. He had 253 yards, a passing touchdown, and an interception, which saved a lot of fantasy owners' days last night if he didn't get that last rushing touchdown. Any other really takeaways? I mean, the Chiefs look like the Chiefs I think we kind of know what to expect from them. We saw Darrell Williams come in the backfield when Clyde Edwards-Helaire kind of needed a break and needed to take a few snaps off. But, I mean, they were rushing Edwards-Helaire on the goal line. He does seem like to be the guy here in Kansas City, and thank goodness I am so excited to watch this guy emerge. So for the rest of the show, what we're going to be doing, it's going to be kind of a different matchup show where I'm going to be kind of speed running through the rest of these matchups. I'm going to be telling you what I'm going to be looking at, any maybe bold predictions I might have. So without any further ado, let's get into it. So the first off, we have the Seahawks at the Falcons. Right away when I look at this, I think this is going to be a big shootout. It's going to be a very high-scoring game. We have Big Russ and Matt Ryan. The question I have for Big Russ is, are the Seahawks going to let Big Russ cook? In other words, it basically means, are they going to let Russ Wilson pass the ball? Or are they going to be more run dominant, like kind of how they were last year? The O-line and D-line for the Seahawks are pretty bottom tier, and Russell Wilson's going to have to do his magic, but that's when he's the most dangerous. That's when the Seahawks are really banging. Matt Ryan, the Falcons have the 24th ranked O-line according to Pro Football Focus. They are expected to improve this season with the return of two rookies, one of which that was injured last year. So, I mean, hopefully it's better. But, I mean, Matt Ryan usually has pretty steady production, so you should be excited for him and the receivers in this game as well. Chris Carson, same role as last year, expect to be a top dog. Carlos Hyde will come in for some relief. Which kind of shafts Rashad Penny looking further along the season down the ways. Todd Gurley, man, this is a guy I definitely was not drafting. There's so much risk in this pick. Dan Quinn's already coming out talking about kind of this load management, managing the chronic knee condition. In training camp, he was taking every fourth day off to make sure they're not aggravating the knee. It just seems like they're jumping through all these hoops to kind of accommodate Gurley. And in, I don't know. It's just like you can't expect Gurley's old, like, kind of MVP numbers. I'm not sure if their O-line is going to be able to support Gurley. I'm not sure what to really expect, so we're just going to have to watch, and hopefully the load management isn't too overwhelming for Gurley. Now for wide receivers, we have Hot Lockett and DK Metcalf should be locked and loaded against this Falcons secondary, and we have Julio and Calvin Ridley on the other side. The man I want to be looking at here is Calvin Ridley, a guy going very high in drafts, a guy Matt Ryan said, quote, could explode this season. There's been a lot of hype around Calvin Ridley entering year three, so keep your eyes on him. Tight ends, Will Dissly is 100% healthy and will be starting this weekend. If any of you remember Will Dissly's performances when he's healthy, he is a touchdown machine, a favorite target for Russell Wilson down the field, and honestly, it might be worth a pickup, honestly, in your leagues if he's available. It might be worth a quick stash. And then the other side, my guy, Hayden Hurst, my pick for a tight end breakout this year, taking in Austin Hooper's spot. I did talk about him on Wednesday's show as our my guys are fourth and goal worthy players. I believe he's going to break out this game, and I'm so excited for it. Moving on to the Dolphins at the Patriots. This is a really interesting matchup, actually. Fitzmagic is going to be the starter. Tua, I predict, will start later in this year. The Dolphins have a really rough schedule starting out. Five of their six games, they play the Pats, the Bills, the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Broncos. All super tough matchups, and it's not very welcoming to a new rookie into the system without a preseason, without too much of a camp. So I'm very happy to see Fitzmagic out there and allow Tua to kind of watch him go through the process to see what Fitzmagic is going to struggle with, where his failures are, where he's going to succeed. And I think it's just really good for the development of Tua and to really set him up for later this season. Now, the Patriots are retaining a majority of their defensive players, and they drafted pretty heavy defense this year. They are not going to have Patrick Chung and Hightower, who have both opted out, but they still have Stephon Gilmore. They have a lot of the core pieces in their defense, and I still think they're going to be elite, which is going to make it hard for Fitzmagic, but I still think he can get the job done and be productive. On the other side, we have Cam Newton making his debut for the Patriots. I do think Cam Newton is going to be able to get it done, but this is really going to be the test. Is he going to be able to live up to the hype of the fantasy community and Bill Belichick? I'm making a bold take here. I'm going to say Cam is going to be a borderline QB1 this week as a result of kind of his rushing game and just his overall production on the field, I think Cam Newton's going to have a strong start. And it's definitely a bold take, don't get me wrong. And Cam Newton being one of the fourth and goal worthy players, that is a bold take within itself. But I am a believer in Cam, and I believe he can get it done. Now, running backs for the Patriots, it is a mess. Sony Michel injured for majority of camp. Is expected to play Sunday. He's listed as a starter. But it's going to most likely be some form of committee between Michelle, James White, Rex Burkhead. Please don't start any of these guys. I mean, the only guy you maybe could consider in a PPR format would be James White. On the other side, we have Jordan Howard and Matt Breida. Jordan Howard kind of being their 1-2 punch, and then Matt Breida coming on third downs or third and longs or when they're behind to be their pass-catching back. Because we kind of remember from San Francisco, Matt Breida, not really the guy to hold a heavy workload. He's a smaller frame and does have kind of an injury history. Wide receivers, Devontae Parker. Remember, the number four fantasy receiver after week seven last year. This guy just blew up last year, and a star was really reborn last season. And I expect him to have a big role in the offense this year. But who I'm more excited for is Preston Williams. Do not sleep on Preston Williams. Could be a great stash. I was trying to stash this guy in every draft I could in with my last pick. He had a commanding target share around 20% before he went down last season. I believe in Brian Flores, kind of a descendant of the Patriots kind of system. A lot of the players have bought in to their head coach in Brian Flores. And I believe Preston Williams is going to be a big part of this offense. So he could be worth a stash before this week one. Because if he does pop this week, it's going to be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of week one overreactions. And you never know what, I mean, if Preston Williams pops up, people are going to be running to get him. And then Julian Edelman, I think he's a great low wide receiver too, flex play. It's just hard to kind of manage or see what this New England offense is going to look like. I do believe in Cam, so therefore I do believe in Julian Edelman, a solid veteran, always steady production, the best receiver on this team. Now we're looking at the Chargers and the Bengals. We have Tyrod versus Joe Burrow. I feel like this is going to be rough. I mean, the Bengals, according to Vegas, are expected to win around 5 games this year. And what a terrible matchup for Joe Burrow's debut going into second-ranked secondary, according to Pro Football Focus. My prediction, Joe Burrow's for sure going to have less than 250 yards this game. I believe he's a hard sit. I mean, you're going against the likes of Desmond King, Chris Harris Jr., Casey Hayward. It's just a nightmare secondary to be trying to go against. Running back, Austin Eckler, locked and loaded. Joe Mixon. I believe the Bengals are going to have to use Mixon similar to how they used him last year, relying on them heavily. And if you drafted Joe Mixon, you're going to start him. He's very, very reliable. Wide receivers, Keenan Allen, the hype man from Hard Knocks this year, just signed a 4-year, $80 million contract. He is the best weapon for this offense. Mike Williams is going to be a game time decision, and you know Keenan Allen's going to be a great option in this game due to the matchup. And if Mike Williams is out, that means more targets for Keenan Allen. We have AJ Green playing in this game. Don't sleep on AJ Green. Yeah, there is a world that we could be in that AJ Green has lost a step, but typically when AJ Green is on that field, he's taken a lot of time off to recover from his injury. If AJ Green has any glimpse of his old self, I believe he's going to be a great weapon for Joe Burrow. Tyler Boyd, you saw him kind of fill in for the AJ Green role last year and had pretty solid production in all the games that they were behind. But I would not be starting pretty much either of these guys. I would consider AJ Green for my flex play, but Tyler Boyd I'd probably keep on my bench. Next up, we have the Cardinals at my 49ers. We have Kyler Murray versus Jimmy G. I believe this is going to be a very volatile matchup. Recall from 2019, Kyler Murray had two amazing games versus the Niners. In both games versus the Niners, Kyler Murray had an over 100-point passer rating. He also threw for 5 touchdowns. I mean, for some reason, it seems like the Cardinals are like the 49ers' Achilles heel. This is going to be the hardest division in football, the NFC West. And Jimmy G had two fantastic games against the Cardinals last year, 324 passing yards and 424 passing yards. And I think I'm willing to throw Jimmy G out there as a borderline QB1 this week. I do believe he is streamable and playable this week. Same for Kyler Murray. I believe in Kyler Murray this week as well, due to the history and due to the upgrade of weapons as well. Now, granted, we have to take these expectations with a grain of salt, because we did have Kenyon Drake and DeAndre Hopkins kind of be in and out of camp. So it's very possible this offense might be a little rusty and they might not look as polished coming out here week one. Now for the running backs for the 49ers, we have Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Jerick McKinnon. Tevin Coleman, just like last year, is listed as the starter. Raheem Mostert did request a trade early in the offseason, but has since got his contract restructured. I am not starting any of these guys. In my personal opinion, I mean, I think you might be there might be a world where you have to start Raheem Mostert or the guy you think is going to be the starter or get the workload. But the Niners play the hot hand. It is so hard to really tell what kind of their outlook is going to be looking like, especially with a healthy Jerick McKinnon this season. So in my personal opinion, I'd be sitting these three. Kenyon Drake. I love myself some Kenyon Drake. I think he's everything you kind of want in a starting running back in your RB2. Yeah, I mean, he can catch the ball, he can run the ball. It's just, I just don't know how this Cardinals offense is going to click. Kenyon Drake did pop off in those games against the 49ers, and I kind of expect him to do the same here. Wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, largely known as one number one, if not number two, wide receivers in football, has been in and out of camp. I don't think it's going to slow down Hopkins at all. A receiver his caliber is going to just find ways to dominate. And then we also have Christian Kirk. And my question is, as a Niner fan, how many yards are Hopkins and Kirk going to torch Richard Sherman for this game? Recall from last season, two horrific pass interference calls on Sherman when he was guarding Kirk, because Kirk is just simply faster, and Sherman really falls off after the 20-yard marker. I believe these guys are going to light up our secondary, and I think Christian Kirk in some deeper leagues could be considered for a play here. With Debo Samuel is ruled out for Sunday. Brandon Ayuk, the 49er rookie, has a hamstring injury, is limited Friday. It could be a game time decision, which leaves Kendrick Bourne as the top receiver, a role he played pretty well at some points last season. What I'm going to be looking for from Kendrick Bourne is if he can hold on to the ball, I want to see less drops. And of course, we have our Kittle. George Kittle's going to feast. Cardinals cannot guard the tight end. Next up, it is my favorite matchup of the week. It is the Bucs at the Saints. Oh, my gosh. For the quarterback matchups, we have a tale as old as time and a song as old as rhyme, Brady and the Breeze. Two legendary Hall of Fame 40-year-old quarterbacks who just had both had entering like a new kind of contract in their career. Drew Brees, a two-year extension. Tom Brady, his new start in Tampa Bay. I see Brady going for 280 yards, two touchdowns, and interception. I believe there's going to be some kinks to work out on the side of the Bucs with this new offense. But a lot of people are going to be looking at this Bucs backfield. I know I hyped up Leonard Fournette, but we have Ronald Jones and Shady McCoy back there as well. I took a look at the depth chart. Ronald Jones is the starter. Shady McCoy is going to be their second tier, and Leonard Fournette is listed as their third running back. This starting week, I am not starting any of these guys. I want to see how this plays out. I did mention earlier in this week during the fourth and goal worthy players episode that Bruce Arians already said Leonard Fournette's going to have a significant role in this offense coming week one, and I want to see what that looks like, because Leonard Fournette has been there literally 1 week, so I don't think that I just don't think he can be used to his full potential week one. So we'll see kind of where this backfield's lying right now, because I don't think Ronald Jones is the answer. And Alvin Kamara, cool guy. Wide receivers, Mike Evans, very sad news. He is doubtful week one. He did not practice today on Friday, which leaves my guy from last season, Chris Godwin, with the majority of the targets most likely. Be excited, guys. Chris Godwin was able to produce with or without Mike Evans last year, and I expect him to have a huge game. What does this mean for Brady, though, with Mike Evans out? I think Brady can still get it done. They have a ton of weapons at tight end, with Gronk being the proclaimed starter, along with O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. Big targets that Tom can throw to down the field. And there's a lot of kind of, like, Scotty Miller. There's a lot of scrappy guys as well that the Bucs can throw out there to help support Brady. So I with the absence of Mike Evans, I'm not too worried. There's still a lot of elite pass catching wide receivers and targets in this offense. So I think Brady is still going to have a good day. Moving on to the Cowboys at the Rams, we have Dak versus Jared Goff. I'm excited for Dak. It's going to be a very similar offense to last year, even though with head coach Mike McCarthy there. A lot of reports came out and said that Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator, is going to be calling plays, which I don't understand what the role of Mike McCarthy is if he's not calling plays. I think Jerry Jones wanted the offensive coordinator to make the calls, which I just find very strange. I think Dak is going to have a fantastic year. He wants to get that payday with since he's only on that franchise tag. But I do believe Dak is going to get it done here against the Rams. We have Jared Goff on the other side. Jared Goff and the Rams is a very odd year last year. You kind of saw in Hard Knocks they're running this kind of 12 personnel type look where basically they run kind of extra tight ends for blocking or just kind of diversion tactics. And that's why you might see like Cooper Kupp have a lower lower snap share per se. But even with those games of lower snap share, surprisingly, when Cooper Kupp's around a 75% snap share, his production is actually higher than when he's on the field for 96% of snaps. So I'm very excited for Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. The Cowboys secondary, I believe, took a downgrade this season with the absence of Byron Jones. I believe Jared Goff and this Rams offense is going to have a great game. Now, when we're looking at the running backs here, we have a three-headed, I wouldn't say monster, I'd say more of a mess in the Rams' backfield with Malcolm Brown as a starter, Daryl Henderson, and Cam Akers. A lot of people paid a lot of draft stock for Cam Akers for a hope later in the season. But Sean McVay has already come out and said, you know, this is going to be kind of a Niners approach where they're going to feed the hot hand. It's going to be a running back committee for sure, unless maybe someone like Cam Akers emerges this season. Wide receivers, we have an elite group for the Cowboys and Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup. All eyes are going to be on CeeDee Lamb. We're very excited. Amari Cooper is healthy and ready to go. So we're just going to have to see what CeeDee Lamb can do in the field. I'm so excited for all these rookie receivers. Tight ends, we have one of my players. We have Higbee, who I believe is going to have a great game against the Cowboys. And we have a sleeper tight end pick that I really love in Blake Jarwin. With the absence of Jason Witten, I believe Blake Jarwin is going to emerge as one of the breakout tight ends this year. Next up, we have the Steelers at the Giants. So we have Big Ben versus Daniel Jones. I mean, I feel like the Big Ben is just a controversial topic of whether he's good or not at this point in his career. Big Ben, always kind of known as a guy who literally takes off the offseason, where he doesn't really work on his game, relaxes, doesn't really care. You know, I think anything is better than that Devlin Hodges, Mason Rudolph garbage we saw from the Steelers last year. So I do think Big Ben is going to be a big upgrade for these receivers in this offense. Would I throw him out this week? Yeah, I think he's worth a start. You know, maybe I'd rank him as I look at my rankings now. I have him as my QB13 this week. So not my favorite option out there. I think you could find better, but sometimes you got to throw someone out there, especially if you don't get one of those early running backs, because in a lot of leagues, people are drafting two, maybe three quarterbacks when people don't know what they're doing. And on the other side, we have Daniel Jones, had a very, very solid rookie year. I believe the Steelers D is rock solid, and I think Daniel Jones is going to struggle this game. It's not the most favorable matchup for him, and I believe Daniel Jones is going to struggle. What I'm going to be looking for here is, can Daniel Jones take care of the ball and fix that fumbling problem? Running backs, James Conner, Saquon, great matchup. Wide receivers, Juju and Deontay Smith are the two guys I'm looking at. There's also Claypool, the rookie the Steelers drafted, is going to have a role as well. I believe Juju has a resurgence here in this season with Big Ben at the helm. And my breakout candidate, Deontay Johnson, I have a lot of faith in him, and I expect for him to make a big splash this game. And then for the wide receivers for the Giants, I'm not starting anyone with Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton. I'm not excited for any of these options, and I would sit all of them. And for tight ends, Evan Ingram, obviously rolling him out there. In a lot of negative game scripts, Evan Ingram is highly targeted, especially down the field as well. And for our last matchup today, I'm talking about the Titans at the Broncos. We have Tannehill and Drew Locke. Tannehill, I have not been very high on him coming into the season. Obviously, yes, he had a fantastic year last year, a miracle run. Very happy for him. He was able to get a contract with the Titans. But this team is going to be largely centered around Derrick Henry. Drew Locke, a lot of expectations coming into year two. In my opinion, I think it can be seen that I think the Broncos have a top five receiving core with Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Deshaun Hamilton. It is quite a sight to see. I think the offense for the Broncos has all the pieces there. It's more so what we're going to get from Drew Locke. Melvin Gordon, Phillip Lindsay committee. It's already been announced. That's why I wasn't really targeting Melvin Gordon in many of my drafts. I don't like this at all. Phillip Lindsay is a great running back, but I feel like the addition of Melvin Gordon is just, they're just eating away at each other's fantasy value. Obviously, it can be good for an NFL team. I'm not saying it's bad in the sense of football, more so for fantasy. I mean, Melvin Gordon could be worth a flex play. I would not be confident in him as my RB2. But we'll have to wait and see how this backfield looks. Cortland Sutton, very sad news coming out this week. He had a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. Not looking good. I don't believe he's going to play this weekend, which is going to leave a lot of the work on the shoulders of rookie Jerry Jeudy, who is my favorite rookie coming into this season. I think on Monday we're going to have to evaluate these rookie receivers and see who's really emerging. Deshaun Hamilton's going to have to also step up as well if Cortland Sutton's out. But I believe this is going to be kind of a low-scoring, nitty-gritty game between the Titans and the Broncos. And lastly, also A.J. Brown. I believe he should have a good game as well. Very efficient receiver. Noah Fant, also another weapon the Broncos can use. I would be very confident rolling him out there as well. Well, everyone, that is going to do it for the matchups for Week 1. I believe next week we're going to be trying out some different things in terms of switching up from maybe not doing matchups next week. Instead, kind of going towards maybe saying like our starts of the week or kind of our bold takes or what we kind of see playing out. Not necessarily knocking down every matchup, but more so highlighting more fantasy value in a more digestible and different way. But anyways, everyone, if you tuned in this late or this far into the show, I really appreciate you listening. Thank you so much, everyone, who's been listening to the show for our relaunch. It means a lot to us. We're putting in a decent amount of work into these shows, and we look forward to providing this content for you as the season goes on. As always, you can listen to us on Spotify, and we'll be on Apple Podcasts soon. If you haven't already, please give us a follow, and thanks again, everyone, for your support, and good luck in your first week of matchups, everyone. Football's here. Thank you.